I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back. KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Sam Farnsworth filling in for the out-of-town Scott Mitchell. And Kyle Van Noy, former BYU Cougar, now switching teams, of course, in the AFC East from the Patriots down to the Dolphins, gets a strip sack, force fumble on Gardner Minshew, and then recovers that fumble. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, he stripped it, and then he just kind of held on to it. It was he stripped it. The ball came out. Yeah. He has to, like, crawl on the ground with a bunch of other grown men around him, and he goes and gets that ball and puts Miami, and then draws some sort of an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty from the Jaguars, and they take it down to the 1 yard line.
It's like when the last cookie falls on the floor, yes. And you got like four brothers, and
right.
You're diving.
I think, man, we've all been there.
I think he might have had those experiences.
So he gets in there and he recovers the fumble that he causes, and the Dolphins are now down at the 1 yard line. So congratulations. All right, joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he is Mitch Harper on the horn here with us. Mitch, a lot of movement across the world of college football chaos this week, and it got even more weird tonight when we heard the announcement that the Pac-12, we were waiting for the date, we were waiting for things of when we were going to actually see some Pac-12 football, but the swirling reports about the, I think that that Michael Schill used the term, it was a wonderful collegial meeting, which of course means it was probably none of those things, and saying that it was unanimous. First, let's start there before we go to the BYU side of things. The Pac-12 kicking off, of course, the 6th or 7th of November, and you know, the reports are, of course, that people were not happy with this thing getting pushed back even to November.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of disappointed that the Pac-12, you know, just back in August didn't hold off. Because the thing that's sad is that coming up in 2 days would have been their revised start date of their season, September 26th. They should have just been patient. We would have been seeing Pac-12 football take place this weekend. But, hey, you know, having some football from the Pac-12 is better than none. It's good for us. I think it's good for the market. I think it's good for people in this part of the country. And I just kind of wonder what changed specifically. I mean, is it just simply they follow the Big Ten's lead in everything? Or was there, you know, I know the testing was there with the Pac-12 conference, but it just felt like even when that was announced, there was no movement to really get football back until the Big Ten did it. And then the USC players pushed that letter to Gavin Newsom. And then suddenly, the science said, hey, we can play, apparently. So I think that's a good thing for Pac-12 football, but it's just a shame that we're not seeing the season start up this weekend.
As you see, we had Greg Rubel on, and we were talking about the game and how weird it's going to be up in the stands. I know you read the same thing that I did about how we're going to be behaving ourselves up in the booth. You know, just the weird side of it and how eerie it's going to be and how strange that stadium's going to be. How much does that affect this game for BYU? Obviously, it didn't affect him at Navy, but that's kind of what you do. You get ready for home or for road games and go, this feels different than home. Do you think that BYU is going to be locked and loaded? We don't know. That was the other thing that Greg brought up, is we don't know, and we won't know probably till game time, the people that will not be there for BYU. How is this one going to go for the Cougars taking on Troy for their home opener in 2020?
Yeah, I think the BYU is the better team on paper, but I think that there's just so many, you know, questions about BYU right now, because last week the game plan to install this scheme against Troy, it was installed virtually, and they didn't have the full team practices up until this past Monday, and you're suddenly going from triple option preparation to then suddenly switching on a dime to an offense that is an air raid attack. And I think it's just going to be a little bit of a hurdle. And BYU's defensive secondary, you got guys like Chris Wilcox, who I think could potentially play. He was out against Navy. D'Angelo Mandel is banged up. I don't expect him to be playing. He's not even listed on the depth chart this week. So those are two key cornerbacks that could be out to face this talented Troy wide receivers that might have the best receivers BYU faces this year. Kind of curious to see if Troy Warner maybe stays at that cornerback spot. He played well against Navy, but again, triple option team, how much were the cornerbacks really utilized in that regard? So this game will be very, very interesting. And then the element too of Tristan Hodge being out on the offensive line, does BYU go with true freshman Connor Pay, who showed out really well from what I understand in fall camp? It's a true freshman, is a legacy kid, loves BYU, but I mean, is he ready to be a starter right away? Do you go to Kiefer Longson, maybe Channon Herring? So there's some questions, even though BYU is the number 18 team in the country and a two-touchdown favorite. This could be a game that maybe becomes a little bit of a shootout, a la Toledo back in 2016.
Maybe.
Nobody wants to hear that. Come on,
yeah.
Mitch.
I think we'll definitely learn a lot about this BYU team for sure in this matchup. Hey, Mitch, first of all, I'm just going to throw a little tangent in here in our conversation. A friend of mine who works with the Mountain West tweeted or texted me a little video clip with no words, but just a whole bunch of football highlights. So I'm assuming what he's been hinting at, I've been messing with him all day, is that the Mountain West is...
Oh, he works for the conference.
Yeah.
That's why he's being more
tight-lipped. Is that the Mountain West is probably on its way back.
We could have all the conferences back, Mitch.
Yeah.
You could get your Mac Tuesdays back maybe at some point.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that would be great to see that happen. And hopefully, somehow, some way, maybe the Mountain West teams can work out something to get BYU on their schedule in the month of November, because I think obviously the Group of Five leagues are a lot more willing to add some games out of conference. You know, for whatever reason, the P5 leagues pretty much want to keep things in-house, and that's okay, especially when you're starting this late. But why not have BYU and Utah State square off maybe Thanksgiving weekend, maybe San Diego State? I'd love to see it.
That'd be great. Hey, Mitch, I saw your article earlier this week talking about the book that came out about Tom Brady. Tom Brady and BYU, they were flirting a little bit there in the late 90s, was it?
Yeah, that was quite the I was reading the Jeff Benedict, the Dynasty book about the New England Patriots, and, you know, just love reading any good sports book, and wasn't expecting any sort of BYU reference, even though Jeff Benedict always finds a way to get some BYU nugget into his books. And sure enough,
then we talk about it, and then there ends up being some more book sales. Come on.
Exactly. And sure enough, found out, I didn't even know this myself, Tom Brady once upon a time was courted by BYU when he was a high school recruit, and even said, according to Jeff Benedict in his book, that Tom Brady used to follow BYU football growing up. So kind of cool.
Everybody kind of did. Come on.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like it highlights what's notable about that is just simply BYU. If you were a hotshot quarterback recruit back in the 90s or the 80s, BYU was linked to you in some capacity. And BYU was well respected just because they produced the best quarterbacks in college football. And that's why that brand of BYU was big and powerful back then. I think that's what it kind of represents.
And he was out west, right? He was in from like Northern California. Here's the thing though about this: like, you get letters. You know, letters just start showing up at your house if you're a recruit at all. I remember when my brother was being recruited in high school, and we got 1,000 letters, and I remember seeing one, and it had the University of Texas had like the Longhorn on it. But they would just send letters out. And they never made him an offer. I remember thinking to myself, oh my goodness, my brother has his name on the front of a thing from the University of Texas. They just sent out letters and they're like, hey, and they would go to their high school coaches. That was the other thing, is they got sent straight to the coaches. The coaches handed it to the player. And so, you know, Tom Brady getting flirted with by BYU. The thing was, is BYU won a ton of games too back then. So there's the part about being quarterback U. Then there's the part too about, you know, about the time he graduates from high school is when BYU wins 13 games in a season, you know, or how many games did it end up being? 14.
14.
In a season. So then you go, that's when he's looking at it and going, wow, if there's a team out west and I can sling the football around, it's going to be those guys at BYU. All right, Mitch, final question here as we get out. Assuming this game goes on, what do you think about – my thought was BYU and Matt Biamonte told me it was too little of a point total. I said 35-plus points for BYU. That's the lowest I'll go. That's the threshold. It needs to be 35-plus points this weekend.
Yeah, I'm thinking a 40 spot for BYU. Oh, I think 40. 42 points. I think they're going to put up some numbers, but I think they're also going to give up a lot of points as well.
Hey, what about, yeah, maybe a combined 100 points in your first two games? That would be nice for BYU. Mitch Harper, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. You can read his byline at KSLSports.com. We'll take the break. We got news, traffic, and weather. Listen to he and Matt Biamonte, noon to 3 on Saturday, for your biggest Cougar fix on a game day Saturday. We'll be right back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.